This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
And you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How you doing? The dog days of summer are officially over. Manchester United have kicked off their preseason tour today in the Midlands. Big head, Wayne Rooney, Derby County, 2-1 Manchester United. The youngsters got a run out. Good to see it. And football is back, sir. How you feeling?
Sir, I don't know if the dog days of summer are over just because preseason kicked off.
They're over.
I think we're in the dog days of summer. We're still waiting for Varane. We're still waiting for some backups. Trippier, Pogba might leave. There's a lot to do, sir. And Jesse Lingard sweating out there in preseason.
Sweating out those dark gales. It was a hot day in the Midlands. Good to see some of the youngsters get a run out. Yeah, why not? Have a couple, sir. He's not going to be a Manchester United player for long. Hopefully somehow involved in a deal with Declan Rice. You know, we'll give you, Jesse Lingard plus 30, plus 40, whatever it may be. But that would be a good bit of business. Either way, it was good to see United get back to winning ways. Start the season the right way. It's only the preseason, but hey, it's football.
No, notes on the half of the preseason match. Look, it's 5 a.m. wake up time, Pacific. It is preseason, sir. This guy, credit to Alex, he's up at 5 a.m. watching, sir. I slept in. I got here at 6 a.m. The first alarm didn't get me, so I had to hit the snooze. You know, with the little one, we did a big trip yesterday, so 5 a.m. sir. That's rough for a preseason match. Not going to lie, Palestre looking good on the right. He's probably going out on loan, but he's got the pace, the work rate. He's in shape. Seems like a nice kid in the post-match interview. That's my highlight. Lee Grant's everything I hoped it would be as well in net. LOL, Lee Grant. Have a laugh.
I'll tell you what, you can see the drop-off. Tom Heaton got to play in the first half, made a couple tidy saves to kind of keep United ahead. He looks like a decent backup keeper for sure. Lee Grant, I think we've known where we've sat on Lee Grant for a long time. You know, he should probably be in the coaching staff.
Doesn't he's really good at holding sense. Up the how many minutes are left or the sub board. I give him 5 stars for that one as far as just keeping the ball out of the net. I don't know.
Not great.
But everything to do with it, preseason is just a run out. They're just trying to get in shape. Wayne Rooney, I'm concerned about the size of his head, sir. I'll tell you what, this Wayne Rooney, if I saw him out at a pub, I wouldn't want to fight with him. He looks like he's got an old English, big dark ale fan. Wayne Rooney's size of his head is growing fast. I think the more dark ales you drink, the faster the size of your head grows.
Look into the scientific research around that.
His head's getting bigger. He's got at least 50% bigger than it was when he was playing football.
He's getting bigger. And just in general, he's enjoying his post-footballing days. You know, the physical requirements of a coach is not quite what it is as a player, but he seems to be enjoying himself in the Midlands.
He also's got the bad Midlands tattoos.
Bad tattoo.
I'll tell you what, he doesn't look like he's the all-time leading scorer for Manchester United. You take a look at Ronaldo. Rooney's younger than Ronaldo. This stark contrast, sir. Stark contrast.
Not many players are Ronaldo, sir. Like, we talk about it a lot. It's my favorite analogy. Doing leg lifts on his yacht, summer vacation. There's only one Ronaldo, sir.
You and Wayne Rooney, you're the same age. Your head is not nearly as large, and you like a dark ale.
I have more of a Wayne Rooney post professional career physique than I do close to Ronaldo. So yeah, that's my more appropriate comp. Or like Andy Cole. Andy Cole seems like he enjoys a dark ale as well, covering on MUTV.
Sir, either way, United's back, and as fans, it's nice to cover the preseason because just summer transfers, the rumors like Sancho. Obviously, this week, preseason is one thing, but Varane to Manchester United seems real. Pinch me if I'm dreaming, sir. Romano with a meaty tweet earlier this week, and I'm watching highlight videos. He's you're a fanboy of Varane, sir. Don't tell me you're going to get the kit.
I'm not getting the kit because I don't want to doom the player, and I think he's got a real shot of hitting the ground running, and the last thing he needs is me picking up a kit.
Also, hashtag lasers out. You know, I'm obviously I've been waiting for Chevrolet to get off the kit so I can get the kit. TeamViewer kit.
It's better.
I'm anti-Glazer, sir. I got like 30 Manchester United kits from back in the day. So, you know, I'm good on kits.
You're good. We got one on the wall right now looking at Ronaldo, the spruced up bunker. It's getting nicer every day, sir. I just won my bid on a Wayne Rooney 2008, not game worn, unfortunately, but 2008 jersey from the final in Moscow, signed by, you know, the leading goal scorer with the biggest head in the Midlands, Wayne Rooney. So that's going to be joining the wall. But either way, good tune-up match for the boys. It's like us. We're getting a little bit of tune-up. This is preseason for the America Red Devils. Getting back into the swing of things. It's good to be back.
No, I'll tell you, we spent the summer, we spent a couple hours on the podcast. We're going to call it the bunker, but it should be called a studio, sir. It's not quite studio. Still got the bunker vibe. The audio might sound better. Like, we're literally trying to figure this out. We haven't looked at the soundboard in about 2 years since we hooked it up. Now we got the USB audio to the computer, so hopefully that translates to some better audio. Again, the fact that this podcast works is a miracle because we have no... There's a lot of lights on here. There's a lot of knobs.
A lot of knobs.
If anyone knows what these mean or has any experience, you could tweet us. Help us out because we're like, do they have audio engineers on TaskRabbit, sir? That's kind of where we're at with the podcast. Regardless, hope everyone's having a great summer. Let's jump into the quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, we are four fans by fans. We are two Muppets on the couch giving you that biased fan take with a soundboard that we have no idea how it works. If you want to support us, we think the best way to do so is Patreon. Great to support independent fan content because we have no sponsors on the podcast. You can support us anything from $1 a month to $20 a month. There's four tiers. We drop an exclusive behind-the-scenes podcast episode every single month where we answer all your questions in our mailbag. If you want to support the podcast, check it out. Again, no sponsors. We just do it for the love of the game. Shout out to Kyle, new Patreon member, and James as well, James Harrell. Thank you so much for being the OG supporting the American Red Devils. Your support goes a long way. Check out our website, www.americanreddevils.com. Click on merch. Buy some Glazers Out merch there as well. And our season-ending survey, do not forget about that. It's pinned on our Twitter profile. We want feedback from you guys so we can get better. If the audio needs improvement, me and Alex talk too much, talk over each other. You can get it all out in the season ending survey. We will listen to it other than telling us to stop saying sir. That's one thing that we can't fix, sir.
Can't fix it. Can't fix it. It's not going away. It's not happening, but we appreciate the feedback. You know, it goes a long way. We try to listen to the fans. We try to get better every year, just like this team, just like Ole. I think he's learning on the job. We're going to talk about some big moves that are happening in that front when we get to the news a little bit later. But like John said, you can support the pod with Patreon. You can buy merch. Go to our website, AmericanRedDevils.com. And we have a store that's getting better and better every day. Another great way to support the pod is to write an iTunes review. It's absolutely free. All you have to do is write a 5-star review on iTunes. And if you send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, we will get you some free Stanley Chow design stickers to your door ASAP Rocky. We're also having Stan on the pod in a couple weeks. We're going to get his take on how much fun he had watching us lose to Villarreal in Gdansk, summer business to date, what's going on in Manchester and all the like. And like you said, we also have history coming up in a couple of weeks as well. So a lot of things happen in American Red Devils. Summer is a good time for reflection, kind of like Manchester United team. Big moves happening. Sir Varane, say it. Is it possible? Is it possible we're signing Varane 28 for £43 million? That's the rumor.
Yeah, summer theme, cleaning out the bunker, getting our ducks in a row, all the stuff we couldn't do last season because everything, it was crazy, sir. I mean, absolutely nuts with the COVID schedule. So, you know, going along that theme, we'll also on the U.S. Men's National Team Takeover podcast, we are not going to be covering the Gold Cup because it's like literally the C team. We're going to get our boy Mike on in the fall. We start World Cup qualifications. So during international break this fall, we'll cover all the U.S. Men's National Team World Cup qualifiers. We'll at least have a pod during international break. That's going to be amazing. We have the World Cup around the corner. Not pumped where it is, not pumped when it is. But the United States, sir, has not been to a World Cup since we went to Brazil in 2014. That is a long time, sir. That is a long time. Maybe eight and a half years since the USA kicked the ball there. So we're very excited about World Cup qualifying this September. We will have that. But, sir, this is the Manchester United podcast. We are the America Red Devils. Let's jump into the preseason starting 11, sir. You watched the first half. I'll let you jump into that lineup. Let's see if you can pronounce these names right.
I can pronounce some of these names. I won't get them all right. Tom Heaton was in goal, his first start in a long time, coming back to Manchester United. He looked good, to be fair. Aaron Wan-Bissaka right back, a center back pairing of Twanzebe and Menji, and then B-Dubs, a.k.a. Brandon Williams, as left back. We're doing Dylan Levitt and James Garner in midfield, Mata in the hole, Chongi on the right, Anthony Alonga on the left, and Mason, Starboy Greenwood up front, sir. Nice lineup. Good lot to see. Like a couple starters, a couple like first team players in the mix with AWB, arguably Twanzebe in his day. But, you know, good to see some of the youngsters come out. Mata looking decent. What's not to like, sir? It's preseason, baby.
Sir, Jimmy Gardner. Need more of him. He'll probably go back on loan. B-Dubs, rumors to go into Southampton. I think a lot of these players need loans. Chong, obviously, getting heavy on the right. I mean, probably another loan, unfortunately, for him. I thought he should probably be third in the depth chart. But, yeah, Dan James, you got Ahmad. You got Sancho. I just don't know. You know, pick your poison there unless you're going to ship one of those, which I doubt it. We have a lot of business to do. But Chong's probably going out on loan. So a lot of loanees here. We'd love to see him wearing the Manchester United shirt, sir. Let's jump in. It didn't take long for us to kick it off here. Chong, I just talked about him. Love the hair, sir. Getting a goal in the 18th minute.
Pre-season games, all of them live on MUTV. There's Mata. Chong wins it back. Chong's got a great chance here. Chong, he tries to chip the keeper. In the end, he finds the net. And United take the lead at Pride Park. Taheep Chong, Derby nil, United 1. All downs are persistent.
Little sloppy Joe's Derby County error. Chong tries to chip the keeper. He saves it. He gets another go. And you know what? It's preseason, sir.
I'll take it. And you know what? Those team viewer kits, they're growing on me, sir. I like them more than anything How Chevy put out. Sorry, I got to call. I'm not saying I'm going to buy it. I'm not saying I'm going to put money into the Glazers' pockets, but they look pretty decent. Good from Chong, right? Don't give up on it. Just keep pressing. Hopefully you got another nick at the ball, and he did. Puts a goal in. Sloppy Joe, like you said. That's like a FIFA goal that I used to score. But, hey, what's not to like? 1-0 United. Let's go.
Sir, halftime. I finally showed up your house. Coffee in hand. Give me the halftime starting 11. Lots of changes here. It's preseason. Everyone get a run.
No, absolutely. The only people that stayed in were Twanzebe and Menji. Otherwise, it was a full rotation. Lee Grant, your favorite goalkeeper in the world, came in. Galbraith and Fish, two youngsters. Fish as kind of like the academy lad. He plays CB. Usually, I think he was playing on the left. Galbraith is kind of a CDM. He played on the right. Bernard, Telles came left back. Matic and Pereira were playing the midfield. Jesse Lingard up in the hole. Palestri on the right. Hugel was on the left. And Shoretire was kind of playing all over up top. So the player that stood out, we'll talk about it in a second, it was Facundo. Facundo looked great, sir. A lot of threat going forward and looks like a tidy little player, sir. Probably needs another season on loan, but he's a talent.
Sir, he looks fit and ready. And in the 59th minute, you know, it was pretty silky. You know, I think it was a ball roll in there. Let's get into that highlight. Facundo Palestri.
Tucked it into an empty net.
Riveting highlight. Let's hear it again.
Calmly went round him and tucked it into an empty net.
Very tidy from Facundo Palestri, sir. You know, we're dealing with preseason chopped up highlights from Reddit. That's kind of where the pod is these days. Again, great goal for him. He deserved it. High work rate, high intensity. Looks fit for preseason. That tells me this kid ain't partying. He ain't getting lit, sir. Not. You know, he's not coming in overweight. He's on point trying to break through. And you love to see that from the youngsters. Post-match interview, great lad. I like Facundo. This won me over. That's basically the summary here. Facundo, we need more of you. But no. Again, that right wing, so heavy. Is he ever going to break through? That's the thing.
I mean, he could be an option. He seems to be the kind of player to play on the right, play on the left, go out another season on loan, come back and just be a squad player. Maybe if you do dish a Dan James, et cetera. But, dude, like you said, he looked good. He looked real lively in those 45 minutes he played. And then you see his post-match and, like, seems like a really decent kid. Mature for his age, wants to play, wants to get better. He's saying the same thing about the other players that are around him, the youngsters. They all want to get better. And that's what we need. Players that are fighting for the badge, fighting for a spot. He'll go on loan this year. Like I said, Chong's already been confirmed loan. I think he's going to Birmingham City. Facundo needs another loan in La Liga. Dude, he is a talent.
Man of the match. I Facundo, man of the match for me, sir. Who's your man of the match here?
No, it's got to be Facundo.
Other than Lee Grant.
You could say Heaton in the first half. He had a couple good saves. I mean, those are the stories of the two halves. Facundo in the second half. You have to say Shoretiri with a nice pass to him. So youngster on youngster crime right there. You love to see it. And then Lee Grant in the 70th minute, giving up a another goal.
Yeah, 70th minute, Darby got one. Lee threw his little screen there, but Lee Grant, LOL. It ends 2-1 to United. Like I said, I think for me, the takeaway of the second half that I only got to see was Facundo and obviously, say, Heaton in the first. That's great to see. Boys, hey, first run out. Everyone get in shape. Sweat out the booze. Jesse, looking at you.
Wade really looked at you.
He was sweating a little bit. It's either the meat sweats or the booze sweats, but it is like a lot of sweat there for Jesse, or he's just generally out of shape. Speaking of Jesse, Ole gave a post-match interview here. I think we got better audio on this one. He talked a little bit about Jesse. Didn't answer the questions about Varane, but let's hear from the manager, the Hobbit, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
We win the game. It's always difficult the first game, and it's a proper pre-season atmosphere as well with the heat, and it was difficult for everyone. But some good performances, some positives.
Jesse Lingard on for the second half.
He's one of the bosses. Yeah,
good performance. Nearly scored a great goal as well. What has he said to you about his future, and how do you see his future?
He's a Man United player. He wants to fight for his place. I think when he's come back, you saw him today. Bright, bubbly, loads of energy, confident. And
sell.
Saw what he did towards the end of last season with West Ham. So he's still in my plans, yeah.
So you fully expect him there with a Manchester United shirt on next season?
Yes, I do, yeah.
In terms of your work going on this summer to add to your squad, how do you feel that's going?
Yeah, well, we're working on, of course. There's a couple of things on the paperwork, and we hope we can announce one player that's been very much written about, but we're still working on. We want to have a strong squad. We want to challenge, of course. We want to improve on last season.
Is that player Jadon Sancho? Can you confirm that?
Yeah, well, I don't think that's a secret that we've made a deal with Dortmund, but all the paperwork hasn't been done, so he's still a Dortmund player.
Why so keen to sign him?
I'll talk about players that we sign when we've signed them, and not when they're at other clubs.
How close are you to signing Varane?
Same again.
And just one quick word on Marcus Rashford.
Yeah.
How have you felt about the support he's received since what we saw at the Euros, and what is his future in terms of the potential operation he needs?
We'll definitely support him. The fans, Man United fans, will support, or football fans will support him, and because football fans will know that. Just having the courage to step up, take a penalty in such a game is a win in itself. And the actions of some people, they're not reflective of the majority of the football fans, or all of the football fans. I don't think they're football fans at all. So Marcus is a strong mentally boy, at the moment, he's away. We're reflecting. We have to make the best decision for him, what to do with his injury.
Okay, so still don't know how long
still
he
not
be
decided what's the course of action, no.
Lots to cover there, sir. He's cheeky on Varane. Rashford's got an injury. Jesse Lingard, Manchester United player. That's the one to talk about. Ole just said, hey, I don't think he believed it when he said Jesse's wearing the Manchester United jersey.
Nope.
Ole's directly responsible for Jesse basically not featuring and going out on loan to West Ham. But he's just bluffing because, you know, they want someone to pay up, and Ole's kind of playing ball there. Seeing him in a United shirt again makes me realize, sir, sell. He's got to go.
No, he's got to go. There's a lot to unpack in that. First, you called him a hobbit. The guy's probably taller than me. So I don't know. I can only imagine what you think of me.
No, but he's from Norway.
I know. I'm just teasing you. Anyway, the Jesse Lingard thing was very coy, right? He's like, oh, he's going to be a United player. He is a United player. I think that's just him trying to drive the price up, and they're going to play a hard bargain, because usually people think Manchester United is looking to do deals. You know, front office has always been a weakness. The one thing that's concerning, I love the Varane thing. He looks. There's something in that eye. Like, he looks a little confident about a deal to be done, but you know, we're going to talk about Rashford in a second as it relates to his injury. I think there should be no decision or, you know, question whether or not he's getting surgery. Get surgery. He needs surgery. Why, like, you know, not do it? You know, at this point, he's a youngster. He needs to get, you got to think long-term vision. And that's just like making sure that he's not carrying injuries into next season. Take care of it. Nip it in the bud now and then have him up and running in October. That's fine because we have options.
No. I agree. It's more of a question of when you do the surgery. Like, you could have done it in the summer and then be ready. You know, otherwise he didn't really feature much for England. That's the confusing thing for me. Was he injured in England? That's why Gareth didn't use him, or does Gareth not rate it? I have to think if Rashford's healthy, he's playing more than he did. I don't know. Do you think there's anything to that? Or was he just training totally fine and Southgate's just like, Rashford's not good enough to play in England because Sterling and Saka are that much better than Rashford?
No,
I don't believe that.
No, neither do I. But I don't think he came into form. You know, as we saw as United fans, he wasn't playing the best football he's played in the 2021 season at the end of it. And that's because I think the injuries were just kind of piling up.
Yeah, so
he's still part of the England surgery team. Yeah, he's time for him to get surgery. You know, now he's taking a little break before getting surgery. At least that's what we understanding we're under. I don't know how you feel about it. I'm sure you have some strong feelings, but like, it's time to get surgery. And you know what? He should have a little bit of a blow, a little bit of time off to kind of clear your head and then get surgery. So there's no rush. We got nothing but time.
Are you referring to the video of Jadon Sancho and Marcus Rashford on the private jet getting a little fired up?
Having a good time. You know, he's enjoying himself. And why not? Take a couple of weeks off before you get surgery. That road to recovery is not going to be that much fun. He's also probably getting a double surgery, like a shoulder and ankle. So
yeah, crazy,
let him go to the Caribbean with his new teammate, Jadon Sancho. They can have a good time, have a couple of cocktails. Jadon will come back to training. He'll go under the knife, Rashford, that is, and then we'll go on from there because we have options totally on the wing.
You know, the thing about Rashford is, again, we talk about you can't day trade Manchester United, is you got to be thinking of the next 5 years for Marcus. And
right.
Arguably, he needs like 6 months off. You know, he's going to need a rest, obviously get over the whole England issues. There's a lot of stuff happened there, and then kind of digest that. Then get surgery, then rehab, then get to fitness. And just, I know Ole knows not to rush Marcus. Now, a healthy Marcus starting this season, if you want to, the killer for me is, if we're winning the title, somebody's going to score like 25. You know, someone's got to do it. Who is it going to be? Is it going to be Cavani? Probably not, because he's got injury problems. Is it going to be Greenwood? It could, but that I think would be like two or three seasons too soon for him to take that much. Is it going to be Rashford? Like, Rashford's probably the guy to do it, and then we're not going to have him. So then how do you win the title? And the answer is you got to share it around. So we could do it with Sancho, with Greenwood.
Bruno. Don't forget Bruno.
Obviously Bruno, but you know, he's more like, especially when you talk about how we're going to play. Is Martial going to do it on the left? Is Greenwood going to do it as number 9 right away? Is Sancho going to do it on the right? That's a lot to ask of those players. If Rashford's going to be out till we heard October, it's really going to be November probably. He'll come into form hopefully in that tight December fixture window. But again, it's a lot to ask of a new player, an older player, a younger player, and a player who didn't have form last season to literally rely on them to get the job done, you know, August, September, October, November. And sir, we struggled for goals early on last season as well. So I have to think this is going to be this one we might be thinking about a lot more, and it could cost us a serious run at a title this season, having this big of a player out. And, you know, that just speaks to the player that Rashford is, really, because he wasn't able to put it together all last season. Martial did it the season before, you know, and it's like, who can do it? And we don't have that guy. We don't have that Erling Haaland who's like guaranteed 20 plus every season in, season out. We don't have that guy. We haven't had that guy since Lukaku.
No, we haven't had that guy. Yeah, that's a good point, sir. But like you said, he is going to be a better option for us when he's fit and he's had a time to recover from his injuries and get surgery. So, like, you got to think about it. It's a long season. It's a 10-month season. We're going to miss him at the beginning, but we did just add some additional firepower in Jadon Sancho, who can slot in, and you don't have to go and say, I have to start Martial, because Martial might not even be next in the depth chart. Right? You can put Cavani up front, you can put Sancho on the left, and you can put Mason on the right. Obviously, Bruno's in the hole. Where else would he be? So I hear what you're saying, but I think we're going to need him in the long run to begin with, and he began to break down towards the end of last season, right? He was lights out through December, and then, like, those injuries, that he'd been carrying for a while. Don't forget about him breaking his back, like, you know, within a couple of years of today. He needs time to kind of like sew himself up, get back to fitness, get back to 100%, because right now he's just been kind of dragging for a while. And, you know, the argument probably can be made that he should have taken a knee in March, April, and gotten some self.
Yes,
he wanted to, you know, be a part of the England team, but like, you know, I just think what kind of character he is.
That's totally the move, because like, you're not going to get first. This title is over. Like, it's Villarreal. Europa League's not worth it. You should have gotten just surgery then. And then obviously he didn't because of the Euros. He had a reduced, you know, tried to just kind of like probably rehab it. Then there's like all eyes on the Euros. Euros, huge priority for him. It makes sense. He's a young guy, wants to play for his country. But when you look at title runs and you look at, you know, where the priorities were for the Manchester United play, it's almost like when the Scholes, the Roonies of the world, when they were playing at United and winning week in, week out, they almost, even Ferdinand, he said it when they were talking about why England didn't win. It's almost because they brought that United rivalry to England, right? It's almost like club over country for the players in a little bit. And obviously we're not seeing that now. We're seeing country over club. And when you're talking about trying to win a Premier League title, that's going to be a tall order without all, like, we're starting to get to that point. You add Sancho, you have enough to do it, but everyone's got to be back healthy day one. You can't have people coming back 4 months later, a guy that you really need. And I just, it's a, for me, if you have Rashford healthy, start of the season, everyone's healthy, I think we have a chance. Without him, and then you got to rely on Cavani to stay healthy, you're starting to get a little like, you know, starting to be a little bit like quicksand. How can you really challenge if you're already plugging holes, or you're already trying to get to end of November to get Rashford back? Or I think you're already kind of starting on the back foot with the attack. And I don't think that with this team and this, the depth of this squad, we can really afford to do that. If we brought another number nine, then I think there's a chance. But right now I'm thinking you're starting on the back foot with no Rashford. He's an important player, very important player.
No, you don't have to tell me that. But you know what? It is what it is, and he has to get surgery, and it's better to not have him be like, well, we know we want him for the season.
I know. I just want a title.
Hungry, yes, sir. I know you want a title, but we got to think long term. The kid's a youngster. Thirsty. He's 23 years old. He's got 10 more years in his career.
Thirsty.
Arguably.
Hungry.
Sorry, give me a second. So I agree, but he's injured, and he needs surgery. He's needed surgery for a while. We're not going to have him. So luckily, that means other players are going to step up. Martial, you good enough? Are you out? Right now, this is going to be his last sniff at it. You can be the left winger. You can be the starter. You're not number nine. If Cavani's fit, he could score goals for you behind in front of a Bruno Fernandes with Jadon Sancho on the right with a real defense that look like they're trying to build, because everything points to they're not making any more additions to the attack this summer.
Would Sir Alex say? How would Sir Alex be about this? You know, some, like, I think he'd be really on the player. I have to think Sir Alex, when think of him putting together title after title. It's like, if a player has got a surgery pending, he's going to do everything to make sure that he's 100% ready to go for the next season. And this seems like one player's decision, and you hope that it doesn't affect the squad. As it stands, sir, I don't disagree. He absolutely needs surgery, but it's a big decision made by Rashford and his camp. To not get surgery in the spring of last year, to play in the Euros where he didn't feature that much, and then get it on our club's time. And it's going to be if we get Varane, we get Trippier, and this is a year to push, and we got Cavani for one more year, and then we don't have Rashford for 4 months. And we're going to feel it. We're going to feel it. We can get away with it, but I think we're going to feel it. So.
No, it's going to be an opportunity for other players to step up. So I agree with that. But also, did you hear what Ole said? He was a little cagey about it. He made it sound like it has not been decided. Like, we still want to convince him.
Facts. That's why we're Muppets. We're talking about it like it's happening.
Right.
But he's got to feel it. He needs it, though. He needs, like, time off. I know Rashford. He needs the rest, dude. He's got to get better.
He's not what we'd witnessed in the player earlier. You could tell he's carrying some injuries for a while. I think a delayed start, have some time to actually recover from two surgeries, would be good for him, good for his mental headspace, get back to full fitness. And when he does, he's going to be a dangerous player for this team. So I think it gives the club and the other players that are on the fringe, the Dan Jameses, the Tony Martials, the Donny Van de Beek, a chance to step up and contribute. And I think that's not a bad thing, because those players are all ready to make an influence.
I hear you, sir. I think you convinced me. But big news. I mean, like, that's big news. Like, huge news. Like, Rashford injured. thinking about taking the surgery, not being available. I mean, that's like one of those where, you know, that could, we could point to that being like, God, we're missing Rashford. Cause he produced when no one else was producing. Rashford was producing for us last year. And that was huge, especially when Martial kind of went by the wayside. So let's get into it. The transfer muppetry. You'll love to see it. United in the news. You know, we're breaking down hypothetical surgeries. It is transfer. It is the summer muppetry. It's crazy, sir. Everyone talking about ghosts. Speaking of ghosts, Rafael Varane, he's apparently wearing a Manchester United shirt all over Twitter. United close to agreeing personal terms with Real Madrid. Per Sky Sports, Fabrizio Romano tweeted it out. Basically, the agreement with Varane is almost reached once he has agreed to personal terms with United, which clearly we are going to be paying the wages. Apparently, the deal should be close with Madrid. It should be easy to do. They want to sell. 50 million euros is the rumored fee. Real Madrid trying to get rid of those wages, sir. Now they have a salary cap in La Liga. He's got big wages at Madrid. Last year of his contract, Madrid can get rid of his wages. They can get some money. They're broke. We'll pay him some money, sir. We're broke. You love Varane. What do you feel about this? You think it's, I mean, people are basically walking around with Varane kits at this point. Everyone thinks it's done.
Fool me once, sir. I know we've been played before. Sergio Ramos, 2015. I'm looking at you. This feels different. He's a different personality than a Ramos. He's also, right now, this would be a coup for Manchester United. You know, I know that Sancho was last year's business, but him and Varane, those are two world-class players. If you could get him for £43 million, cheaper than Arsenal are paying for Ben White from Brighton, that is a hell of a deal. 28, he's in the form of his career. He's in the prime of his career. And that's exactly what you need to pair next to a slabhead Harry Maguire. It's like you put those two together, and all of a sudden you got a defense. You got a really good defense.
Sir, you know, sign on the dotted line. I've been watching the highlights. Romano tweeted big time, like, yo, this is advancing. That's when I start becoming a Muppet, sir. It's when I hear from Romano, I start watching the videos. Varane would be, I mean, this one you talk about, Sancho was last season.
Yeah.
Arguably the center back we should have signed, you know, we should have signed a center back last season as well.
Yeah.
But to maybe miss the center back last season compared to who we were looking at to now to get Varane upgrade, like this would be huge.
Yeah.
Him and Maguire, that's Manchester United. Varane, Maguire, Shaw. So obviously I think Wan-Bissaka is great going, defending. That's a back line. Like that's a serious back line. You look at the stats last season. It's the defense that cost us. It's Lindelof. The goal against Villarreal, he conceded the same goal for Sweden. Like day late, dollar short, watching the ball go over his head, watching the other player headed into the goal. Seeing this movie before. Lindelof has that. He's La Liga, sir. Perfect place for him. I don't think he's going to. He doesn't have the gumption, doesn't have the grit. He doesn't look like we always said, you know, the more bridge troll the defenders look, the better, you know, like Vidic, he looks like he should be living under a bridge, yelling at people crossing it, you know, Harry, bridge troll.
Harry's got a bit of that. You know,
yeah, Harry's got bridge troll.
I hate to say, you know, he's got none of that. Varane. Varane's like a pretty boy, bro.
I know.
He doesn't look like a bridge troll.
I'm sure there's pretty boy bridge trolls, but Varane can handle Lindelof in a fight, 1v1.
No doubt.
I mean, like, I'm sure Varane's got a solid jab. Lindelof's never been punched in the face. Lives in Sweden, sir. Soft, you know. He's a different brand. I like it.
Upgrade. I mean, he's won it all.
Bonucci?
I take him.
He's running the biggest bridge of the... he's under the Golden Gate Bridge, sir. He's running the... He's the number one bridge troll, Bonucci. It's like dragging him down by the jersey. You know, love it. You need a little bit of that.
Vidic, you do.
Bleeding, like, let's go. You know, it's like...
And this takes some of the pressure off Harry. If this deal comes through, this is a big deal. Like I was saying earlier, a couple of weeks ago, whatever it was, this could be a bigger transfer than Jadon Sancho, right? Because right now the defense is the issue. I think this team has goals in them, but like you take some of the pressure off Harry because Harry's been the guy. And also I think that's part of the reason that Ole always play the two CDMs with McFred. You know, it's like he doesn't really trust that center back pairing. Now you have two really competent center backs playing together. Arguably, like two of the finest center backs in the world and great compliments to each other. Harry's like good at everything, good in the air, strong physically. But what Varane has is pace, and United's backline needs pace, or someone that has that catch-up speed like a Walker did so much in the Euros. Like, he's fast. I had no idea how fast Varane is, so I started watching some of these highlight clips.
Very good.
He can catch up.
No, catch up, finesse, you know, under pressure. Like, I mean, he played in the Clasico. I think he was like 20 or 19, like just absolutely bossed it for Madrid. Like, hell of a player. If we can get him, I mean, let's go. I mean, this is one of these we're really pumped about. Next one I'm really pumped about, House Hunt. You're hearing it heating up again. Manchester United transfer target Kieran Trippier in talks to buy Raheem Sterling's £3 million mansion as he plots to move to Cheshire. Sir, we got season tickets. We're not quite shopping for houses in Cheshire just yet.
Not yet.
The pod needs to do some better numbers where we can buy Kieran Trippier's house, the house next to him. As far as this goes, Trippier is what we need because played great for England at the World Cup. You have to think about United and how Ole will want to play. I mean, Wan-Bissaka, having him have some competition, A, is good. We saw what that did to Luke Shaw.
Yep.
But then also, you play Wan-Bissaka, we need to lock down Man City. Right. You play Wan-Bissaka, we need to lock down people in the Champions League that are going to be coming at you, like PSG. You look at what Wan-Bissaka did to the likes of Neymar. It played very well against top talent in Europe. And as far as defending goes, when we need to defend, hit him on the counter. Wan-Bissaka's the guy to play. When you're playing Brighton away and you got to stretch him, you need Kieran Trippier, Sancho on one side. You need Marcus Rashford and Luke Shaw on the other. That is how you're going to basically open him up, stretch him, and just score, score, score. Break him open for that goal. We had trouble doing that last year. I think Ole sees this. Wan-Bissaka struggled a little bit. He did get better this season. I'm not hating on Wan-Bissaka. I'm just saying these two, competition, you look at different situations where you could play each player, and I love it for Manchester United.
No, it's the right kind of deal. It, like you said, the competition factor is one thing. You got to give AWB credit where it's due. He played a shit ton of games, and he got 7 assists last season across all competitions, so he has improved on the attacking threat. But like you said, in terms of crossing ability, Kieran Trippier is like arguably elite in Europe in terms of his ability to get balls in accurately. He did so with great effect at Atletico. And that's what United need. Like you said, when teams in the bottom half of the table are sitting in and making us do everything, you want someone that can get a really decent ball in and have those options, right? So there's a lot of games and there's going to be a lot of competitions for us to compete in. Having a good backup who can like kind of push the starter to be better in his game is only a good thing for United. I like the kind of business that Ole is looking to make in this summer window. These are big transfers that are going to be immediate strong additions to this club.
No, and what you see from Trippier is that when you're basically trying to create attacking overload, Trippier is going to be out wide right, and Sancho is going to be more inside, more in the box, right? And so that's where you're going to see that position. He's really good at holding down, great discipline, and I think that's how you stretch these teams that are intent to defend. I really like Trippier. He played great for England. $30 million, I mean, that's nothing for a player of this caliber. You can lock him up for 4 years. I think this is a great move for United. I think Murtaugh or Ole, they're on it. You look at Sancho, Trippier, Varane, Camavinga, you're getting to the B-plus territory, sir. You might be getting to the A as far as a transfer window. It's been a long time since we haven't graded something a C-minus here on this podcast. Lots of business to do, though. And obviously, we're going to talk about it, sir. Paul Pogba, sir. You say get out of town. What do you make of Paul Pogba? It's heating up.
It's heating up. I mean, that transfer rumor, the thing is, I think we offered him a contract a couple weeks ago. Nothing doing. Apparently, Raiola and Camp aren't even keen on having a combo. I think it's pretty set that he's going to be moving on, whether it's this summer to PSG or next summer on a free to Real. The days are numbered for Paul Pogba at Manchester United. For better or for worse, it's probably time. The argument can be made. Keep him for a season, help us push up for a title, let him leave for free, or, get some money from him this year and bring in another player that can kind of help contribute. Either way, it's probably best served that he just goes. He's ready to go. He's been ready to go for a long time. Let's just get him out, get in someone else in, and go from there. Because I think that's what's going to be needed in order to push on for 21. You got to have everybody invested 100% instead of somebody thinking in 6 months I'm going to be signing on a free contract for somebody. So he's going to be looking elsewhere. I want people just ready and willing to fight for that badge.
Absolutely. Next bit of news here, permanunited.com. Eric Ramsey appointed as Manchester United's first set piece coach. He's been appointed as the set piece specialist and individual development coach. Got to watch some training videos of him earlier. He got his UEFA Pro license at the age of 27. He comes from Chelsea. Love Pip and Chelsea. Set piece coach. A lot of work to do at Manchester United. I'll tell you that. I mean, set pieces. You could just watch. If we could defend set pieces 50% better, sir, we might have had a title race.
We would have had a title race. All the goals we could see, most of the goals we could see were either just like complete brain farts, like pass back, kind of caught off by an attacker, and then set pieces. So I don't know what to say, sir. Maybe Ole's listening to the pod, but I like what I'm seeing from the manager. It seems like he's willing to adapt, willing to learn, willing to change up tactics, and bringing in someone to handle set pieces is like one of the best signings of the summer, sir. Forget Varane, forget Sancho. That's huge.
No, totally. As far as this goes, it's just a guy to blame, in my view. I think the way to get better at set pieces is to get rid of Lindelof. I mean, he gets bullied. We've seen the goal. I mean, it's not about like conceding shit set piece goals. A team is always going to switch off. You're always going to have that issue. It's just the spot that you give it up in late in games, protecting the lead. You need 3 points. You're trying to be in a title race. You can't switch off then, right? It's something about that. We struggled at last season in the clutch, closing it out. That is where it's a mentality thing. Varane, he's been there before. He knows how to do it. Bonucci, great bridge troll, knows how to do it, sir. You know, like bring Bonucci in. You grab the jersey in the Euros just to get the yellow card. You know, that's we need some of that on our team. The way Italy trolled their way to that win, it's just great. And it was the bridge trolls leading the brigade.
Yeah, he's like tactical foul, dude. Right when you need it, you could argue that Lindelof's probably too pretty to be a center back in the Premier League, sir. He would do well back in La Liga. I think we took him off from the Portuguese league, but either way, maybe Varane will kind of light a fire under his ass, and he'd all of a sudden like, oh damn, I lost my starting spot. Maybe he'll step up the way some players do. Maybe he won't.
He could do it in the third spot. No, I don't. Totally. I mean, like, who's going to play? Phil Jones? You know, Eric Bailly? Is he healthy? I don't know. It's
hard
like
to say.
The problem is that we're just thin. We just got too many guys who aren't doing it. You know, you need like solid defenders, and you know, center backs go down with injuries too. So we might be seeing more Lindelof, you know, you never know, sir. You put an article here about how Anderson loves McDonald's, sir. You like McDonald's. So, you know, you want to lead the line here, a little summer humor here.
Well, you skipped that one article about the Munoz to the 4-3-3. I just thought that was worth noting because thinking of like switching up tactics.
So you don't think McDonald's is important?
So I was like, Tottenham? I think that's important.
Okay. Yeah. So this article, the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is plotting Manchester United tactical overhaul, going to 4-3-3 from 4-2-3-1. Everyone's been, you know, hemming. First of all, why would Ole tell the press how he's going to play tactically? I don't understand that.
You don't buy it?
I haven't seen many news articles of many coaches who think it's a priority to tell the press how they're going to play. First of all, if you watch Manchester United, the 4-2-3-1 is very fluid. Sometimes we are 4-3-3. Sometimes we are 4-4-2. Different phases of possession, different phases of buildup. The possessions are very flexible. You look at how we play during buildup. You look at how we play in the final third. There's overloads. Situationally, formations are not just you play. It's not like FIFA where you play it set the whole time. There's a lot of fluidity in the phases of the game. So for me, this is just a lot of nothing. The idea of trying to say, you know, we're going to play with Van de Beek, Pogba, and Modric. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind playing that if we need to get a goal in the second half against Brighton. I don't think we're going to play PSG or we're going to play shitty. We're going to line up in a 4-3-3. You know, I just think this is a lot's being made out of this. And I just don't think it. I like the idea of it. I like being more attacking, but there's always going to be the 4-2-3-1 in certain situations that you're going to need to play sort of negative football against larger oppositions in Europe. That's just how you're going to have to do it as Manchester United.
No, I think this speaks to probably that there could be a departure from the McFred combo. And that maybe is because they're targeting to bring in a CDM that could actually play as the anchor with a Bruno and a Pogba or Donny van de Beek in front of them. But
the problem is Bruno. You sacrifice Bruno then, right? But the whole idea is if Bruno
sacrifice him. I mean, he's still going to play. He's still going to be an integral part. You're gonna he's not going to be properly in the hole, but he's going to be playing against another creative player that might actually take some of the burden off of him.
No, it just depends where you are in the game and what phase of play, right? So you're saying, okay, I'm going to play Bruno, Pogba, and then insert CDM here. You can't play Kamavinga. That's the only player that we're going to buy. So then you got to play Modric, or then you got to play Fred there. And then you got to ask Pogba to, so when you're attacking, then Bruno's the guy who's going to go forward. Then Pogba, obviously, when you look at the back two, the essentially Fred would drop into a three with the center backs, right? That's what you're thinking about. And then Pogba would be playing in the middle of the park, and then Bruno would be in the attack. And that's all asking Pogba to do a lot of work. And I don't think we have that player. I don't think Van de Beek's that player. So that's where people are pointing out the issue with it. And I do agree, but it's just sort of more like situationally in a game, should we go for it more? Should we be more attacking minded? Yes, I agree. I just don't think, I think Ole didn't take enough risk. I think he relied. Like, for example, why are you playing, why are you bringing Fred on against Villarreal when you need a goal?
I can ask, you know, a lot of questions like, about his like, subs in
so
that game.
So fix that as far as what formation you play. You know, I think when you need a goal against Villarreal in the 70th minute, you're playing everyone up to get a goal. You know,
you should be
call
at least
whatever you want. Go get a goal, be more attacking minded, be more aggressive. I think this is what I take away, not the actual tactics of asking Pogba to do more work and how you shouldn't do that and, you know, trying to figure it all out now. I don't think Ole's just going to be trying to put a square peg in a round hole day one. I think it'll be a slow transition and Van de Beek will get more comfortable in that role and we'll see how it goes. I think you have to use what you got and we don't have that CDM yet. So how do you play that way?
We don't have that CDM yet. We also don't have a center back pairing that like gives you the comfort where you can only play one CDM. So I think this might hint to the fact that he thinks Varane's a done deal because that takes some of the pressure off where you don't need two CDMs to kind of bail out Lindelof day in, day out. You know, let's talk about McDonald's. Let's talk about Ando, you know.
Who, like, this is all talk. The whole formation thing is just like, it's just
of course buzz. It is, sir. It's summer transfer window muppetry, baby, at its finest.
We'll see what Ole plays, and then we'll critique it then, because, you know, we shall see. Okay, tell me about Anderson and McDonald's. So you're a big McDonald's fan. You go to McDonald's. What do you order? So I haven't eaten McDonald's in a decade. This guy loves McDonald's.
Double quarter pound with cheese. Some nuggets, bro. You know, and I bet
you don't get any fries.
Of course, you get fries with a meal, sir.
So you get a double quarter pounder, you get some nuggets, and you get some fries.
The
fries
come with a quarter pounder with cheese.
You get a drink, like a root beer?
I bet you Ando, they don't even have root beer. Last time I checked. Diet Coke. You know, Ando could have been the world's best player if he didn't love McDonald's so much, says former Man United teammate Rafael. This is coming out in a book he's writing with his twin brother Fabio. I just like these quotes because I heard the same thing. Apparently, Evra used to call him Little Miss Piggy or the Hamburglar. He had a lot of nicknames. You close the quote. Now I can't see what the quote is, but he basically said, we could be on the team coach and pass the services on the motorway, and Anderson would jump up impulsively and yell, McDonald's, McDonald's. I would say something about Anderson. If he had been a professional football player, he could have been the best in the world, but he would just eat whatever was put in front of him. Poor guy. So he had a weight problem, had a fitness problem. You know, he showed glimpses of it. Still won a lot more than Jamie Carragher or Gerrard ever did. But
scored a hell of a penalty in the Champions League final. Could have been. Hell of a penalty in the Champions League final, sir.
That's something.
We got three of those. Anderson did his job. Get that guy some more McDo because Anderson deserves it.
Make it a double.
Alex famously has the Anderson 8. The black 08 kit, hanging on by a thread, you know, like the ER's off, the 8's kind of peeling. One of the greatest kits of all time, Sir Anderson, son. Let's jump into fan questions here. At Dave Paws on Twitter, quote, Pelestri looks mint, new kit looks mint, and it looks like we're getting Varane. Does that mean Murtaugh is mint? United for life, sir. What do you make of that?
I don't think you judge a DOF or a transfer window until that transfer window closes on August 31st at midnight, you know, Great British time, sir. So until then, there's nothing to be said. I think the window is looking promising. You know, Sancho, like you said, that was their last year transfer. If we can get Varane, Trippier, and a midfielder, I think he could be A territory. And we haven't spoken about an A transfer window since we started this pod, and there probably hasn't been an A transfer window, really, since the Glazers came into this club, to be honest, if you actually think about it. So They're putting together a window. It's long overdue. I think they're finally realizing, like, damn, we got to spend money.
We're Muppets, and we would have rated the Schneiderlin, the Pie.
Yeah, well, that was one of the worst transfer windows ever.
Yeah, but you and I'm not going to lie to the American Red Devils that Alex was like the Pie is going to score 20 goals.
This guy got a Schneiderlin jersey. Yeah, so how did he do?
I didn't get it.
So you ordered it. It just never arrived. Never happened. Yeah, that was
an omen. I got a refund, so I don't think it counts.
That was an omen of things to come.
But yeah, we would have rated that an A. We were really pumped on that, and it was horrible. So, you know, what do we know? That's why we are Muppets on the Couch. At Michael72, impressions of the new home kit. I personally love the throwback look. Also, which academy kid do you think will have the best chance to break into regular first team action? Home kit impressions, sir. You got to tell me what you told me this morning.
I like it. You know, it's like certainly a step up from it's just that Chevy. Nothing wrong with a Chevy truck, but that grill on the front of a football kit just doesn't look right. I actually like it. You know, I'm not saying I'm going to buy it because I have a very bad track record with dooming players. You know, maybe I'll buy like a Rooney, fathead Rooney throwback. But also, we don't want to put money into the coffers of the Glazers. I don't want to support that directly, but I don't mind the kit. I know you do, so let's hear what you got to say.
Sir, saying that Team Viewer is an upgrade, like the only way it's better is because the Chevrolet was that bad. Yeah. Yes, yes. I will concede that Team Viewer in white does not look as bad as Chevrolet. It's just one of those things where, you know, it's just like not too much imagination from Adidas, which is to be expected. And it's just one of those things where, I'm just like, meh, okay, yeah, I'm Bruno in a long sleeve. It looks good. I like red. It's a red kit, like Manchester United red. Like, but if that's the bar, then Jesus.
Bar's low. I mean, they put some shit kits out over the last 8-10 years. It's better than we've had in a long time. And I'm not saying I'm going to go buy it, but it's passable. It's an improvement. It's an upgrade from last season. It's just it's the logo. The fact that it's an all white versus that.
Yeah,
grill.
No, it's a better. It's like it's kind of a modern retro vibe. Yeah. Like I don't mind. I don't mind the kit. You know, I'm looking at this Ronaldo and, you know, the memories I have, sir. You see that gold badge, champions. You know, I think if we won the title, love the kit.
Favorite, you know, kit. Go this guy, two-beer kit. Like,
yeah, exactly. If we win the title, love the kit. That's kind of, I think kits are kits are made by the players and the times. So if Bruno brings us to 21, yeah, this kit will live in infamy. You know, TBD. But you look at that inner kit from Nike I tweeted out. That's fire. Just like, looks so good. You know, I don't have that same vibe with this. It's kind of like not a lot doing, you know.
What's Adidas? What do you expect?
Adidas. At Hard Bonk Life, quote, everyone focuses on signing players. How about signing a coach that can teach set piece defending? We talked about that. How much would Varane fix this problem, sir?
I think he fixed his mentality. The set piece defending coach, I think, is big. That is like a non-trivial event that happened at the club this week. There's a reason we talked about it, and there's a reason it's a big signing, because they knew this is a weakness. Ole identified it and actually made an upgrade, poached it from Chelsea. He loved to see it, like you said. Varane will fix the problem, takes off some of the burden. A lot of these set-piece defending goals that we gave up, can't always go on Lindelof, but he's given up a lot of set-piece goals, getting beat, you know, far post, whatever. Varane just adds a confidence to the back line, right? Takes some of the burden off Harry. Adds some winning mentality. Players that have done it before know how to do it, not to waver in the 80th minute and crumble like a stack of cards, sir. He is a winner, and he will take some of the pressure off Harry, and I think that will just build confidence in the rest of the team. They know that behind them, they got two rocks, one with pace, one with physicality, and that's a good combo, sir. That's what we had in Vidic and Ferdinand.
Sir, you actually made a great point here. You know, just like boom, light bulb. In my, like, Harry Maguire on England looks a different player. I mean, you see him just like torch that penalty, the defending, the confidence. You understand, like bringing the ball up, clearing out from the back, all over the place, can't make a mistake. And he's playing with Stones.
Right.
You know, and that shows you, like, Stones is like, I mean, he had a good season for City, he's a good defender. But Harry Maguire with a good partner looks a world-class center back, and it's almost like he gets around shaky Lindelof, and it's like his kryptonite star.
It's true.
You know, it's like the shakes start, you know, the yips start coming onto Harry. It's true. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, because when I watch him on England, I'm like,
he looks elite.
I'm all pumped on Harry Maguire. Like, you're killing it. And then it's like he comes on United a little shaky. Like, the yips. Lindelof's got the yips. He's going out there. Lindelof's like a little nervous. You know, I don't want this to be like the hate Lindelof pod, but, you know, was it Harry just doesn't like red when he wears it, or is it he's like a little less unsure about going forward because of Lindelof? I have to think there's something there where he comes into England and boom, he's just like different level of confidence, different level of player.
Well, I think he knows that there's another player who's playing next to him who's going to bail him out if he needs to, right? Versus like, I can't be too confident in my style of play. I can't bomb forward like he likes to do, you know, and pick out those great passes if I'm playing with a Lindelof who has no pace and sometimes positionally gets caught out and beat up physically wise. Because when he plays for England, he looks like one of the best center backs in the world. He looks elite.
Sir, and here's the best part. Varane's better than Stones.
I know.
So we're winning the title.
Let's go.
Every season, winning the title. Every season, let's go. It starts here. First preseason game. We're Darby, winning the title. Let's go.
Tom Heaton in net.
Winning the title, sir. I can't wait. 21-21/22. Just to kind of like have a peek around the league. I mean, nobody's signing nobody.
It's true.
Harry Kane. Grealish shitty bound question mark, no movement there. You would have thought there would be a little bit of news post Euros. Then you got the Haaland Chelsea coming, £170 million. Dortmund don't want to sell. I think Dortmund would take nosebleed money. Dortmund would definitely take nosebleed money for Haaland, right? If they get off
170 is the thing is
he has a 65 or something million dollar buyout next year. That's where United fans hope nobody signs Haaland now, so then next year we can pip him for, you know, a reasonable fee because he has that buyout clause, and you just got to pay Raiola and Haaland's dad. Obviously, his dad played at City. Roy Keane did the knee. You know, who knows what is Haaland want? I don't know, but, you know, if Chelsea get him this summer, that's the only deal other than United deals I don't want to happen because Haaland, I think, knows he's got to come to Premier League. It's the best league in the world. He's got the most eyeballs. That's what he wants. I have to think it's either us. Like, he's got the Ole connect. Does Ole make it another season? Can he lift a trophy? Sign a new deal? A lot of question marks. So you're playing sort of future 3D chess here. But that's the one I'm looking at. Can Chelsea pry Haaland from Dortmund?
Apparently, he doesn't want to join Chelsea, but I think it doesn't make sense to me, sir. You may need to
you got Haaland on the text.
Why would he not? Why would Dortmund, if they have to sell him because of a buyout clause next year for 65, why wouldn't they take 100 million more this year? Why, like, if they know that, like, oh, he's going to leave for a discount rate because 65 for Haaland is a discount rate. We all know that. Why wouldn't they take the 100 million more this year? I know you lose two key players in him and Jaden, but that doesn't make any sense to me. If we have to sell him for the cheap, sell him big money now, right?
Well, it becomes like how good are Dortmund and Haaland like on agreeing like what the fee should be? Because I'm sure that even though there's a buyout that, you know, it doesn't have to be triggered. I don't know the exact language. I've never seen it before. But yeah, if it becomes hostile between Haaland and Dortmund, the only way that he goes, I think, is if he wants to go to Chelsea and Chelsea want to pay insane money and Haaland doesn't, you know, kind of does a move where he's like, yo, I want to go. Then they'll sell him. They have no choice. Short of that, if he's cool with another season, it's kind of like Pogba. It's like, it's just like, I'll hang out another season. I'll go wherever I damn please next year. Like, that's kind of the new, you saw football, right? It became all of a sudden like fees start going up. And then now what's in vogue? Run your contract down. Yeah. Like Sanchez was probably the first one to really do it. You run it down like Pogba's probably going to do, and then you negotiate these big deals, and then the players start getting the upfront fees instead of the clubs. And Mbappe's in that, he's going to be doing that. Pogba's going to be doing that most likely, and Haaland's going to be doing that. And so when you're like basically superstars, the best thing to do is to just run it down or have a buyout trigger, so then you could just say, I'll go wherever I want, and you need to pay my dad $40 million if I go. Something stupid, but that it's also the players claiming back power over the economics instead of having the clubs have it. Now, the clubs are kind of in this tricky position as well because you're seeing United pay a lot of money for Pogba, not recoup that,
right,
with this type of strategy. So again, I think the power play by Haaland is to stay another year. The power play by Pogba is to stay another year. How that affects the dressing room, TBD. But, you know, they get all the money, they get all the power, they get to decide where to go. And then you can just basically, okay, this team's going to win, I'm going to go to PSG. Or this team's going to win, I'm going to go to Real Madrid.
No, it's interesting that the dichotomy and the switch between all the power being in the clubs and all the players' power going to the players. Even to a certain extent, like if we get Varane, it's like him running down his contract, putting them in a position where they have to sell. They don't want to sell him. And they don't want to sell him for £43 million because he's 28, World Cup winner. But it's interesting that the way that shift is happening and the power is being put in the players. You said it. Sanchez is probably the first of that. Pogba was going to like capitalize on that. He's definitely leaving for free and will get paid fat money because they can put all the transfer fee into his wages. And that's quite a system.
Yeah, and then the players just get paid more, which they deserve. You know, I'm not going to lie. I mean, you look at the money in American football and, you know, or you look at money in American sports, baseball. NBA, it's like they should be getting like way more. I mean, obviously, Messi's the one who's getting that. he took a pay cut recently because Barca's going broke paying him. But that's where you can see as a, you know, a complete Muppet on the couch. Sure, you look at the stars, you're trying to get them to align. You're like, okay, United have a great season. Ole is the guy for, you know, 22, 23. Then Haaland likes Ole, Sancho's his boy, $65 million.
We just won the title, you know, so he wants to join winners.
Or maybe, you know, we won something else or had a good run, and the missing piece is the number nine because Rashford's surgery. Cavani clearly is older. Like, we need that, and so we need him at the moment, and everything aligns where he's just like, United. And then, sir, we've seen the movie before, Champions League, Premier League, treble, have you won it, like Gary Neville, and we're back, baby!
We're back. Either way, sir, we're season ticket holders. We're going to be a part of it. We're going to take you guys along for the ride. The America Red Devils' future is bright. This season is around the corner. Murtaugh and Ole building something, sir. What they're approaching, the type of players they're looking for, the tactical changes that are being whispered in the wind, the appointment of a set piece specialist. It's good to see there's progress being made. Progress is never a straight line. It's always up and down, up and down. We've had our ups and downs, sir. This is a big season for Ole, a big season for the lads. We gotta win a piece of silverware. No questions asked, sir.
We've never won a trophy on this pod, no, sir.
Haven't. We will.
Hungry for signings. Thirsty for silverware, sir. That's the podcast. You like the American Red Devils, you can support us on Patreon. Check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. You can basically download our podcast on iTunes. You can subscribe as well, sir. You're going to pull up the downloads last 7 days because you're sitting here doing nothing. Got to remind you that while I'm doing the PSA. Check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Click on store. Check out the Glazers Out merchandise. Glazers Out, always on sale. Sir, the scarves are $9.99. They're great. We're getting some hoodies. We're getting some shirts in. We even got keychains that we're going to be getting up on our store, sir. I'm working hard on that one. But again, you can rate us on iTunes. That goes a long way. It's free. Cost you nothing, sir. Alex, you got the top 10 cities last 7 days. Top 10 cities last 7 days.
I'm working on it. Sir, I'm blowing it. Blowing it. Give me a second.
Sorry, I don't even have it here. Here, 1 second here.
Nope. We'll do it live. Fuck it.
Yeah, basically. Give me 1 second. We're just talking about transfers. Hell of a summer, sir. It's going way too fast. You know, the season's around the corner. Trying to get it. Trying to find it. Got nothing.
Sir, I think I have it.
Got nothing.
I have it here for you, Alex.
There you go. Thank you, sir.
Sir, you know what? It's summer. We're all a little, you know, we're all trying to get some sun. Chill out and relax, sir. Give them to me here. Top 10 cities last 7 days.
The best thing is it doesn't have the states. So it's
You got to guess.
Redmond, Ohio.
Redmond, Washington.
Franklin, Pennsylvania, I'm guessing. Islington, United Kingdom. Dublin, Ireland. We know where you are. Detroit, Michigan, of course. Slovenia, I'm going to say Pennsylvania again. Chicago, Illinois. Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. La Crescenta, I bet that's in California. Yep. Oslo, Norway, we know where you are. Los Angeles, California. Hotlanta, Georgia. Columbus, Ohio. And Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Oh, sir, look at this guy.
We got some of them. You finally found the downloads. America Red Devils, we always do it live. That's how we do it. Greatest club in the world. Greatest fans in the world, sir. This summer, things are heating up. A lot of news going. A lot of players being linked to United. Can we get them in the door? That's the real question. Can we get them in the door early? That is a bigger question. We need them when we go on the 14th. Lead scum. Varane back line, Trippier as a backup option, Sancho ready to go. Say it so. Say it's possible.
Sir, I can't believe it. We're less than 30 days away. Manchester United, sir, love this club. Love this podcast. Thank you for listening and downloading. And as always, sir,
kicking a blue.
Kicking a blue.